How to Double Your Eternal Profits in 6 months or Less. My name is Randy Cantrell. Thanks for clicking play. You can find other sermons over at the website randycantrell.com/paths. I'm reading from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The scriptures have always placed a great value on being rich toward God by following his laws, by obeying God. Nowhere in the scriptures will you find any unrighteous person lifted up as an example of how we ought to live. Nowhere in the scriptures do we find a promise that richness toward God will result in anything of glory in this life. From ancient times until now, we have always known that the way of God is a way that is misunderstood by the wisdom of the world. But we've also always understood that it is the only life that will make us rich toward God. The Christian life can make you rich toward God. The next verses that we read are Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. But how much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not that which ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Profit is something that's pretty well understood by Americans. Our society is based on free enterprise and capitalism. We're all well acquainted with living in prosperity. Our standard of living is so above the norm for all of the world that we sometimes lose sight of the fact that poverty even exists. Profit, to some degree, is a way of life here in America. As a year falls into another year, and as we are coming into the fall season, it's September of 2020 as I'm recording today, and as we approach the latter part of the year, albeit a year of pandemic, into another year, companies are reviewing this year, anticipating what's next year going to look like, and with the pandemic, Nobody knows, but plans are still being made and strategies are still being devised. Budgets are still being prepared. I mean, there's a lot of activity that's going on right now, this very moment. Companies are putting forth a lot of energy and effort in order to try to prepare and predict so that they can earn as much profit as they can in the coming year. Some companies make great pushes to drive their profits up. And while every company talks about doing it, only the successful companies actually get around to doing something about it. It's been said that there are basically only two ways to make money. Number one, be the low-cost provider. That is, be the guy who can operate the most cost-effective way. Walmart, for example, they have found a way to be the low-cost provider in their industry. Amazon, they have too. Big competitive edge. The second way to make money is, well, to have something that nobody else has. And that's not easy in a competitive world. I mean, it seems that as soon as somebody invents something, hundreds of companies are knocking it off, imitating it, copying it. And sometimes they're successful at creating a better, more cost-effective copy that has more success than the original. In Christianity, it is possible for us to earn an eternal profit by being cost-effective and by having something that nobody else has. So for a little while, I want to talk with you about this real-world subject of doubling our eternal profits or more in 6 months or less. If you're not a Christian today, you can more than double your eternal profits because, well, you're lost without Christ. You can go from a position of no hope to a position of eternal hope. And you can certainly do that in less than 6 months. In fact, you can do that today if you're convinced of the gospel truth. You can be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins this very hour if you choose. If you're a weak Christian, you'll be able to make dramatic improvements in your life beginning right now. You might be able to multiply your Christian growth by many times, not just double. At any rate, if you'll apply the gospel truth to your life, you will double your eternal profits in 6 months or less. Now, anybody desiring to grow their profits in business will begin with an inventory of their assets and their liabilities. Today, there are things that are in your life that are good, and there are some things in your life that are bad. There are some assets, good things, and there are some liabilities, bad things. Generally speaking, we know which are which. James chapter 4, verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, don't assume that that verse isn't speaking to you. Rather, know that it is speaking to you. It is speaking to each of us. It is speaking to you. It is speaking to me. It is speaking to everybody. If you know to do good, but you refuse to do the good that you already know, then it's sin. This verse speaks to a fundamental truth in the game of seeking profit, and that is, start with what you already know. No company will embark on a plan or a course of action that they have no knowledge of. Only the most foolish company would seek profit in an area that they don't have a clue about. Companies stick with what they know. Brilliant companies, they work to learn more. Why? Well, so they can embark on new ways to improve profits, so they can get new business, so they can maybe create a new enterprise and greater profits. Christian living is the same way. God's people have to be learning more and more of His Word, but it all starts with what we already know. Do you realize how often you fail to do the very things that you already know you should be doing? Think about the things that you know are wrong in your Christian living. Take an inventory of the corrections that you've long been putting off, the corrections that you know you need to make, but you haven't made them. Well, quit putting it off, and you'll double your eternal profits. Have you put aside your Bible? Have you not read it like you should in this year? Blame the pandemic, blame anything you want. Don't you know that you ought to read and study your Bible? Sure, every Christian knows that. but still not all Christians do what we know we should do. And for that reason, some among us are willfully weak. Countless things fall into that category. Prayer, Bible study, visiting the sick, teaching other people the truth, talking like a Christian should talk, dressing like a Christian should dress, behaving like a Christian should behave, refraining from worldly activities, all the things that we know are wrong, but still we do them. Companies that put profits first are generally those companies that succeed. Some companies don't seek profits as strongly as others. And when it comes to living your Christian life, we have to make up our mind that eternal profit is our goal. We have to make sure that going to heaven is our mission in life. And if we do that, then we will be on the road to doubling our eternal profits. If your eternal bank account doesn't mean more to you than anything else, then you're never going to profit spiritually like you should. You know who the rich people are in material wealth, financial wealth? Yeah, they're the people who put that first. Oh, they don't claim that they do. Well, some do. Every materially rich person puts money ahead of most everything else. I've been involved in countless business meetings with various business people, and I've been in meetings where a discussion would break out about Dallas area business people who profited by being dishonest. And one time there was a conversation that ensued about somebody who knew a particular individual who had perpetrated, on a pretty grand scale, some real estate fraud and had made millions of dollars and had to the degree that he literally sunk numerous banks and savings and loans in the process. He had bilked over $300 million from these institutions, and he went to prison. He was convicted. And at the time, he was trying to get out because, well, supposedly he was dying of cancer. And one of the gentlemen in the conversation that we were discussing this particular episode made a comment that can absolutely typify how business people may worship money. And he made a remark and he said, you know, if I had to go to a white collar prison for 4 years and I got that kind of money, I'd be checking into prison today. What was important to him? Well, clearly financial profit. I mean, he would go to prison if it meant that he could double his earthly wealth. Would you go to prison to double your eternal profit? I'm afraid that some of us won't even go to worship, much less to prison, to double our eternal wealth. Priorities to determine wealth both materially and eternally. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 and 38. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. That cross that he speaks of is that cross of self-denial, that cross of crucifying yourself and submitting yourself to the authority of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 speaks a very plain and easy to understand truth. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, ye shall not go after other gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 19, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Lord preached, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, that is, those material things that you have need of, shall be added unto you. We know the scriptures are plain in telling us to put God first, and yet we don't always do that. And it prevents us from being as profitable as we might otherwise be. The truth is, some of us just don't care that much about eternal profit, and it shows. In business, I can always tell when I'm around a person who's dedicated to creating wealth and profit in their company, because it shows. They demonstrate it in 1,000 different ways. I mean, you don't ever wonder if they care about making money or not. You don't ever have to wonder if they care about being financially successful in their business or not. I mean, they're clear in their efforts to create wealth. You can see how highly they prize the creation of profits in their business because it becomes who they are. Well, my question is, who are you? Who am I? What wealth are we seeking first? Make eternal profit your mission, and you'll double or more the eternal profits in your life in less than 6 months. Make up your mind that eternal wealth will mean more to you than anything else, and you will be well on your way to doubling your heavenly profits. There's another principle that we all must follow if we're going to double our eternal profits, and that's action. You know, the world is full of wannabe rich folks. People sit around, they scheme, they plan, they dream, they study about being rich in financial terms. And you know why most of them aren't richer today than they were a year ago? They hadn't done anything. Oh, sure, they've talked about it. They may have even read about it. Some have even written about it. I mean, they've thought about it. Some of them have even devised plans for it, but very few ever took action toward making it happen. The scriptures talk about the need for planning and counting costs. God doesn't want us as his people to not count the cost, but he does want us to take action and pay the cost. Luke chapter 14, verse 25 through 30, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be not my disciple." Now, the original language, that word hate, really bad translation, love more. We have to love God more than we love our family. We don't hate our family. God doesn't want us to hate our family, but he doesn't want us to love our family more than we love him. "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." There's that self-sacrifice again that the Lord speaks so frequently about. "And which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." Jesus plainly teaches that we should sit down and count the cost, but he also just as plainly teaches us this cost of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be willing to pay that cost. Coming after Christ involves forsaking some things. Namely, it involves forsaking ourselves. Now, you can talk about it. You can plan for it. You can strategize about it all day long. But until you do it, it's worthless. You can talk about becoming a Christian. You can talk about one day being baptized and one day living the life that you know you should. But until you do it, it's not doing you a lick of good. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Or if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, Depart in peace, be warm, be filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. God's grace is unavailable to anybody who refuses God's terms. His terms call for work and action. Action in fulfilling his commands will double your eternal profits if you'll just get up and begin today to become a Christian, and if you are a Christian, to do the work of a Christian. You know, perhaps you've seen or read of wealthy business people and you've wondered why they don't just enjoy sitting back instead of trying to become even richer. Well, you want to know why they keep striving to get more wealth? Because they're never satisfied with what they have, and so they keep setting these new goals to gain even greater wealth. Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Here is a man of earthly wealth, but here is a man of spiritual poverty. He understood the concept of material wealth, but he lacked any understanding of eternal profit. He had the right idea regarding his wealthy crop. He did need bigger barns to hold the abundant crop that he had harvested. I mean, come on, bigger is better. He wanted to harvest more crops today than he did yesterday. I mean, he's profit-minded, but he's a short-term player. He gained the wealth that was offered by the world, but he lost his soul in eternity because he was not rich toward God. What goals do you have for your soul? What spiritual goals have you set? You want to build a bigger bank account, or would you rather build a bigger heavenly favor with God? Have you set any goals for yourself spiritually? Most of us, we set goals in our lives. We set goals in our careers. We want to advance our careers. We want to earn more money next year than we did in the previous year. We want to better our investments. We want to gain greater returns on those investments from year to year. We establish these goals for retirement. We establish goals for our personal wealth from year to year. We think about how and when we might be able to afford that new car, maybe that new house. And so we set some goals. And when we look back more often than not, we achieve whatever goals we establish if we work toward them. We cannot profit eternally if we don't do the exact same thing. We must set our goals toward advancing spiritually. And if we fail to do that, we're going to wake up next year at the same time and we're not going to be any stronger than we are today. Our eternal profits are going to dwindle. They're not going to double. But you can double your eternal profits if you'll establish some Bible-based goals and determine to act on those goals. And more often than not, with the Lord's help, you'll achieve whatever you set out to achieve. How many of us set out at one time to accomplish something spiritually, but as the years rolled by, we lost sight of that goal? We never achieved it. Have you ever set a goal, lost sight of the goal, and fail to live up to it? Well, certainly, we've all done that. You can double your eternal profits in less than 6 months if you will reestablish Bible-based goals and if you'll commit yourself and you won't quit on them. Profitable companies and profitable individuals fix their weaknesses and they do it now. As companies review the financial performances, they understand that if they have red ink, they need to stop that bleeding quickly. If they don't, they risk losing their business. I mean, there's a strong sense of urgency in every profitable company to fix what they know is wrong. You won't find profitable companies taking the attitude that their problems, well, it's, yeah, we've got a little bit of red ink. It's okay. It'll all work out. No, they don't take that attitude at all, and neither should we spiritually. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Repentance. Well, what is that? Repentance is making up our mind to change, more specifically, making up one's mind to change their life in favor to submit to God. It is the godly method of correcting weaknesses. It's getting rid of the red ink, if you please. Initial repentance involves the realization that without God, we're lost. Our sins are going to be held to our charge, and we realize that we stand in dire need of eternal salvation from God through Jesus Christ. After we're baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, we become members of the church. We continue to repent as often as necessary to shore up our weaknesses in our life. The Bible, the Scripture, the Word of God makes us feel sorry by the power of that Word. And that sorrow leads us to repent or to continually make up our minds that we need to improve spiritually. And we're going to. No man ever profited by ignoring his weaknesses. Only by fixing our weaknesses are any of us made profitable. Today, you know if you need to repent. You know if you need to make up your mind to change. And you know some things, at least, that need to change, more likely than not. Just as business owners know the areas that are weak, so do we. Some businesses ignore the hard decisions. They ignore the hard changes that need to be made. And in time, they surrender to bankruptcy because they couldn't or they wouldn't face up to the reality of their weaknesses. They wouldn't or couldn't fix them. Well, don't become spiritually bankrupt because you ignore your weaknesses. Fix them. Fix them today and get on the road to doubling your heavenly profits. For many years, I've heard the phrase, there's only one person who can keep you out of heaven, and that's you. And it's true enough. Each of us possess the power to grow our eternal profits, if only we'll do it. And I guess the question of the hour, the question of every hour, is, are you going to prevent your own soul from profiting? Are you going to stand in your own way of getting to heaven? Some of us are doing that very thing. We're putting all kinds of blocks in the way of our growth. Like the parable of the sower, we're not working on our soil. We're allowing cares and other earthly pursuits to rob us of our eternal profit. When we need to be tending to the soil of our soul, we're ignoring it. Maybe we're just hopeful that it'll all just work out somehow, some way. We're deceiving ourselves. We'll be lost if we're not responsible for our soul. Men count profit in dollars, and they live by the business philosophy of buy low, sell high, collect early, pay late. Pretty simple, right? Intelligent men come up with new and exciting inventions that other people willingly pay for, and some men have very unique talents and abilities that are worth, well, they're worth big, big dollars. I'm thinking of Elon Musk. You know, because, well, I mean, come on. Very few people can possess the same kind of skill or talent. Some men gamble and they make it big, while others, they lose all that they have on that risk of hitting it big. People with money will tell you that it's not what you earn. It's what you spend that really makes the difference. Cost reduction is one of the best methods of doubling material financial profits. Cut cost, right? Reduce waste. Minimize every area of weakness. The very same thing holds true in our lives spiritually. Get rid of the waste in your life. Rid yourself of the things that would weigh you down. Does that principle sound familiar to you? It should. Because the Hebrew writer wrote it in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When companies review their income statements and their balance sheets, they know if they've been profitable or not. I mean, there's just no faking it. The numbers are there. Well, unless the numbers are fake, people are either profitable or they're not, based on these numbers. When God examines our lives, he's going to know immediately if we've been profitable or not. Our spiritual statements, as recorded in the Lamb's book, will tell the story. God will know the investment that we have made in living for him. He will know if we sold short. He will know if we invested for the long haul. When our lives are compared to the Word of God, there will be no place to hide. We're not going to cook the books. God isn't going to tolerate us cooking the books. The Word is going to reveal our true, actual, authentic, spiritual profitability. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." We used to sing an old hymn, "Some build their hopes on the everlasting sand, some on their fame, or their treasure, or their land. Mine's on the hope that forever shall stand, Jesus, the rock of ages." So let's close with a story of profit that is told by Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Are you building an eternally profitable life? Is that what you're building? Are you building a life that you just surrender to whatever you want? You're chasing happiness in this life. You're chasing fun and frivolity and entertainment. Well, you need to be chasing something that's eternally profitable. Well, because even if you live to be old, compared to eternity, it's nothing. Why not start before it's too late? God has done and is doing his part to help you achieve enormous profit for your soul. The return on investment of living as a Christian is unparalleled. The universe has seen and will never see anything like it. To give your life to God and you gain eternity in heaven, bliss for all eternity. So maybe it's time for us to do our part. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 38, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Or whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory with his Father, with the holy angels." If we fail to make heaven our home eternally, then we profit nothing. Even if we gain the whole world and all the wealth of the world, which we won't, we need to come believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We need to repent of our sins and make up our mind that we're going to serve God all the days of our life. We need to confess in front of men that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The same confession that Ethiopian nobleman made over in Acts, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And then we need to be buried in baptism for the remission of our sins. That makes us profitable. We can more than double our eternal profits. and we can do it in a lot shorter time period than 6 months.